Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I think Nick could do that, but he would have to be at work on time.
On time.
Every time. I don't know, Nick. I don't know. Could be. If somebody, if you had a driver and not Tanner.
It can't be Tanner.
To have somebody
my
handler.
My girlfriend's
car. He would
car.
Need a handler.
I was
right.
At the stoplight for an hour.
Yeah. Tried that one on me.
I died laughing. I was at the stoplight as a reason for being late.
That's what he told me. And I said, for a half an hour? Well, no. That's what he said. He got stuck in a stoplight. That's why he was a half an hour late.
A stoplight.
He tried that one on me. I was like, for a half hour?
What are you talking about with the stoplight right now?
It's like, it's unbelievable. Like,
that's what
I think Tanner at that moment realized, man, I'm not in college anymore. I can't BS my professor.
Wow. Throwing shade at Tanner.
All right. I want the record to show. I was very much late. Like, I woke up late and I was like, oh, my God, I got to get there. But I did have, at the time, I had Zach or Chase, like, run the board for me.
Right.
So I let them know, and then, like, Diener was like, yo, why were you late? And I was like, yeah, my bad. I woke up late, and then I just kept getting stuck at the lights. But at the time, though, I was only, like, 5 minutes down the road. So I was like, yeah, no excuse, but I just kept getting stuck at the lights. But I had someone cover it. He's like, all right, whatever. Like, I right away, I was like, well, I'm never going to be late again.
Yeah, so. This is the last time. This is the Roundtable here on ESPN 680 105.7. I'm James Strebel. Matt McGavick in here with me. Already at Kendrick Haskins on the line here. And just a moment, Tanner Brutomesso, you just heard him.
And me and Dina are okay now. We're okay.
Tanner's still working here. It's okay. He's fine. He's behind the big board.
I never heard that soundbite, though. I didn't know it was going to come to the world, but
That's a good one. It's a badge of honor. Big thanks to Matzo Pie for dropping off some epic pizzas and focaccia bread for lunch today. Head out to Matzo Pie's Anchorage location for unique dining experience. Also, visit the Douglas Loop and Butcher Town locations. Stop in and pick up some 10-20 craft brews and discover the delicious handmade brick oven pizza only at Matzo Pie. So, Matt, if you get a little hungry, there's some back there in the conference room.
I won't lie. I was tempted to just swipe a piece.
Go for it. Yeah. I mean, that's why it's there. It's there for the talent. There we go. Get the chorizo one. I'll have to get a slice of the chorizo one in the next break. We'll wander back there and see what kind of deliciousness awaits us on the table. If it's still left. Yes, that's a great point. But if it's still left. So let's go ahead and we'll get our guy, Kendrick Haskins, from Wave 3 on today. Good afternoon, Kendrick. How are you doing on this beautiful Wednesday?
I'm doing good. A little bit busier than I anticipated, but it's a good day.
Yeah, there you go. Got Matt McGavick in here with me today. Kendrick, Anna is in South Carolina, the island of Palm, with Maria Montgomery for her wedding. They're doing a wedding week. So she's out of town living the big life. How about that?
the life that woman leads, we can only fathom.
I know, getting into places for free, ushered to the front of the line at clubs. I mean, not that I go to clubs anymore, but if I would go to clubs, I would not be ushered to the front of the line. I'd be put in a dark corner somewhere.
You have to hope that she lets you come with her.
Exactly. Yes. And that way she can show me the ropes and how to get in. Well, Kendrick, you said you're busier today, and I believe one of the reasons is because Trinity head football coach Dennis Lampley, he passed away. Obviously, a legend in this town, 80 years old, had that 50-game winning streak, 5 state titles. Jeff Brohm released a statement about his head coach's impact on him as a player and as a person. So what do you have in store for the television watchers tonight on Wave 3 in regards to Dennis Lampley?
And Dennis Lampley is a coaching legend around here. I had the pleasure of talking to his son, Brad, over Zoom today, because it's funny, you know, how small Louisville is. I went to middle school with his son, Brad.
Oh, really?
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. So we've always, you know, it's not one of those things where we talk every day, but we've always kind of stayed connected and kept up with each other. And so, yeah, I needed to talk to him, and he's like, of course, and we sat down and did a Zoom, and then, of course, it was going down memory lane for Zoom. So we'll hear from Brad tonight at 5, 6, and 11.
Very, very good. He tweeted out earlier today, lost my best friend and the greatest man I've ever known last night. And after a long battle with Alzheimer's, Dad impacted generations of young men at Trinity with an influence that far overshadowed his Hall of Fame career. I pray that I can be half the man and father that he was. So some nice words there from his son, Brad. And Kendrick, I mean, we just talked about with Jeff Brohm, I mean, the impact he had at Trinity High School, making them a national power, cannot be overstated.
Oh, it can't. And, you know, one of the best parts about my conversation with Brad is when he was talking about Jeff and what he meant to Dennis, and was that there wasn't anybody happier to see Jeff to get that job at U of L than Dennis. And at that point, Dennis had already had Alzheimer's at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So it got to the point, you know, the memory goes, but flashes would come back. So whenever he'd see Jeff, he would have flashes, and he'd point at the screen, you know, you'd flash in his mind about Jeff. And the same with Brad's son. Brad's son is an offensive lineman at Tennessee.
Okay.
Brad played at Tennessee, too. Brad actually played offensive line at Tennessee, blocking for Peyton Manning.
Well, how about that?
Dennis was a huge Tennessee fan, of course, because of his son and grandson. And so his memory was letting him down, but it would come back every now and then when it came to his grandson, his son, and Jeff Brohm, among the things that brought memories back for Dennis.
Well, rest in peace to Dennis, and he was a titan around here, and looking forward to seeing your piece on him tonight, Kendrick, and your discussion with Brad. So it just can't be overstated how much he's meant to the area, high school football, putting Trinity on the map. I mean, a 50-game winning streak was legendary. Did you know, a fun fact, which school broke that winning streak?
I'm trying, because I think I was in high school at the time. Was it Mayo?
It was Holy Cross, my alma mater.
Holy Cross.
Really? Broke. Yes, go we Cougars. Had go Cougars. There we go. Mark Lieberman, obviously head basketball coach over there now. But yeah, I'm a graduate of 2000. And there's a picture hanging in our like Sports Hall of Fame area where they have all the All-State pictures up there and everything. And you know the Courier Journal article when Holy Cross snapped Trinity's 50-game winning streak there. So, I mean, that's a streak that may never be broken. I mean, that was legendary.
Yeah, this
it was crazy. It was crazy because 96, because that was 2000, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that win streak started when I was in high school. I graduated in 93.
That's crazy. That's absolutely, absolutely crazy. I mean, just and again, I don't know if that can ever be repeated. We'll switch gears here to some Team USA stuff. Kawhi Leonard backs out of Team USA. I mean, they're ready to go to Paris. I mean, it's you know, the team's practicing, they're scrimmaging. You know, media starts to hype up about it, but they released a statement today, Kendrick, that Kawhi Leonard is going to take the time off to focus on the upcoming season with the Clippers. What was your read on that? I know you followed the NBA quite closely. What did you make of Kawhi Leonard just kind of bowing out, then his replacement, you know, not of Kawhi Leonard's talent abilities? I'll just put it that way.
Well, at this stage it is, because the best ability is availability, and Kawhi's never available.
That's a great point, yeah.
And so I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, at this point, I'm like, why? I mean, and personally, I get why he keeps playing, because they're going to keep paying him a lot. You know,
right.
Paying him millions of dollars to not play, why retire? But, like, if you're the Clippers, like, why do you keep paying this large contract? Because he keeps getting max deals.
Yeah.
He hasn't played a full season. I mean, since he's – I know he hasn't played one since he's been in L.A., and I don't think he's played one when he was with the Raptors either. It might go all the way back to when he's with the Spurs, since he played a full season. And so that's like – why is the NBA – has the NBA not retired him yet? Like, the NBA – a lot of times the NBA retires you. You don't retire. You know,
hey, if the money's there, you can make
one
the money.
Of them. Allen Iverson's another one. Allen Iverson's another classic of where the NBA retired him.
Oh, yeah. Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, Carmelo Anthony, yeah. And, like, I would imagine that whenever this contract is up, that's going to be the same thing with Kawhi, because I'm like, I don't understand. And so I wasn't surprised that he had to duck out at all. And I'm not even blaming him, because obviously – that knee problem that he has is much worse than we know.
Yeah.
They've never really released what is wrong with him. And I think it probably would do him a favor to release it, but he's so quiet, keeps to himself. But it's like, because now everybody looks at it like he's just sitting down, like, oh, just Kawhi sitting out. And, like, obviously this is a serious injury, but we don't know what it is. And so it looks bad on him because he's always sitting out.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I know he won the NBA championship with the Raptors, and he just not has panned out the way he was there at LA. So it's going to be interesting now with Paul George gone. That thing has changed dramatically. Kendrick Haskins with us, Wave3, Wave3.com. One of the big topics around here, Kendrick, and I know Matt has some questions for you about this, is, you know, NCAA football is finally being released.
I was just about to ask him about
that.
There
you go. Yeah, finally being released. And we've been talking about, like, the Kentucky and Louisville players that had the high ratings, but I know you like to play games. You're a gamer. How excited? What's your excitement level for NCAA 25?
I went out and bought the new Xbox today so I can get
it. Yeah, Team Xbox. Let's go. There we go.
Because I had an Xbox One, and I was holding out on getting the new Xbox as long as I could. And, of course, Xbox being the geniuses, and all EA Sports being the geniuses they are, they released the new game not on that system, so you had
of course
to
get a new they know to get what they're doing.
Game. So, oh yeah, of course.
I mean,
I bit the bullet today.
Yeah, I mean, I was up until probably 12:30 last night because I decided to fire up NCAA 14 again and continue to win.
Oh, yeah, I still play the old one.
Oh, I do too. And speaking of which, like, when you fire up that dynasty mode, who are you going to rebuild? Because I already know who I want to rebuild. I'm split between either Marshall or Coastal Carolina. Who are you rebuilding?
See, that's me too. I like to go and start at one of the smaller schools and work my way up. And so I think I've narrowed it down. I think I'm going to do Western Kentucky this time.
Okay.
There we go.
There's some local flavor. There we go. The little hilltopper. I like it, Kendrick.
Yeah, because I usually like to start at schools that's going to play in snow, because I love playing in snow on that game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I played in, like, Northern Illinois and Utah State. And work my way up.
We're really getting in the woods here.
Hey, Utah State, the Aggies.
Hey, I won a national championship with the Aggies.
You're damn right you did. When Kendrick Haskins is the head coach, you're going to win some titles. Let's go.
And eventually left, and immediately left for Florida State.
Now, Matt, he has the early access, Kendrick, so he can actually start playing on Monday.
Oh, look at you.
What was that?
Look at you.
I know, yeah. No, I'm a hardcore gamer. I've been a hardcore gamer since I was in high school, so when it was first available to pre-order, I'm like, I know I'm going to spend buku amount of money on just to get it, so hell yeah, I'm going to pre-order it.
That's Anna's status right there.
That's right. That is, you're damn earned that early access. You're damn right. Kendrick Haskins with us, Wave 3. All right, so Kendrick, we've been talking a lot about, you know, the Pat Kelsey video earlier this week in the transfer portal. What were your thoughts on that when you saw it? It's about 3 minutes long. And look, all jokes aside, the production of it is really good. Like, I have to admit, the production is really good on it. What were your initial thoughts when that video dropped on, was that Sunday night?
The execution was great. The production value, whoever did it, kudos to you. And even a little shout out to Peyton, even though, you know, Peyton, Steve, and I like picking on each other a lot. He did a good job.
He did.
But not every idea is a good idea.
I think it's where a lot of people landed on. It was like,
yeah,
it was like, it's cool.
Love the energy. Love the passion.
Yeah, the passion's there, but the corn level's pretty high on that. The corny level.
Shout out to the execution. The execution is fantastic because, I mean, that's as good as any movie you see coming out now, any trailer you see coming out.
Sure.
But yeah, you just gave every one of your rivals ammo every time you lose the game.
Yeah, our friend Cooper Hessen, he used to work in the studio, he retweeted and said, if you're going to release a video like that, you better win some basketball games. He's a Louisville fan.
That's how
I feel about Arch Manning. When he finally starts playing, I'm like, boy, you better win.
Yeah. You're right, because, I mean, he opted to not be in the NCAA 25 video game.
He never takes a snap.
They gave him like 60K.
Did you see that he's opted in now?
Oh, he's opted in now?
Yeah, they announced it yesterday that he opted in. They did a whole commercial with Eli Manning and everything.
Oh, wow. I didn't see this.
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah, and I think he got like 60K to get in.
60K?
I'm like, this dude got 60K when he's not even getting in the real games.
Right. As long as Quinn Ewers does what he's been doing, he's not going to see the field. It's weird. No. I'm glad we brought this up because there's Texas fans that are like, oh, we want to bench Quinn Ewers and play Arch Manning. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, Quinn Ewers is going to be a Heisman candidate. He might win the damn Heisman. I mean, he's really, really good. I can't fathom. I mean, that's what you call an embarrassment of riches, guys. I mean, that's when you have that Heisman-level quarterback and you're like, oh, bench him for Arch Manning.
And it's also the backup quarterback is always the most popular person anyway.
Always.
But then you mix it in when it's Arch Manning.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Quinn Ewers is a really, really good quarterback. I mean, he would have been in the Heisman conversation last season if he hadn't gotten hurt.
Yeah, I agree.
And
they didn't even start Manning for that game. They had
playing as well as he is. They're in the conversation for the national championship.
Yeah.
And he still has to look over his shoulder.
For Arch Manning. Mm-hmm. Something tells me unless he gets hurt, Steve Sarkisian is not going to make that move. I would hope not. Last thing for you, Kendrick, before we let you go today, appreciate your time as always. So Pat Kelsey went on with Andy Katz, and he made some comments about Mark Pope. So here's what he said. I don't know if you've seen this yet or not, Kendrick. I want to know your thoughts here. So he said, Pat Kelsey said the following, quote, I want to not like Mark, but it's hard not to because he's a really good dude. He came up to me and introduced himself. We started talking, and I walked away like, Louisville fans might not want me to say this, so I apologize. That's a really good dude. And then, you know, Mark Pope has said the following. I love Pat, man. I actually love him. He's a hard-driving, on-it 247 guy. I love him, actually. And I've got a ton of respect for him. That's the beauty of this Kentucky-Louisville deal. And he's got a couple of players that I dearly love. These two guys I got to witness go sacrifice and grow and commit in a brilliant way. I love all those dynamics because that is what Kentucky Louisville is supposed to be. And Matt and I were talking about this earlier, Kendrick. You know, this lovey-dovey stuff between the head basketball coaches around here, we aren't used to this. We're used to some straight-up hatred, some you know, snide remarks, some shots taken. I mean, but this I just it's hard for me to come to grips with this type of friendliness between Pat Kelsey and Mark Pope.
Well, the thing is like when you meet those guys, the same thing that they said about each other, everybody else says about them. Because it's true. You meet Mark Pope, you can't not like that guy. He's tall, he's goofy, he's funny, he takes an interest in everyone he talks to. When you're talking to him, he's not talking to you just to pass the time, and he's not being full of it.
Right. Yeah.
He's generally interested in what you're talking about, and which is awesome. And then Pat, you know, he's full of energy. He's an energy guy. He takes interest in what you're talking about too. And it's like, yeah, the same things that everyone else has said about when they meet them is what they said about each other, which is funny. And it's awesome. And I don't think you're going to have the vitriol between the two like you have with Cal and Rick.
Or even Cal and Mac. Cal and Mac didn't really like Cal each other. Mac. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. And so, yeah, it's going to be different. And I thought that from day one because, for one, you don't have a lifer who's been in it like Kelsey. He hasn't been in it from day one.
Sure.
And he doesn't have a reason to have disdain towards Kentucky outside of that he's coached at the rival school, but previously he doesn't. And Pope was in the rivalry, and he gets it, but Pope's a different dude. He's
right.
Not come to you and stirs the pot, per se.
If either one of them does take the first shot, who's your money on, Pat Kelsey or Mark Pope? Who, if they do,
I think Pat.
Yeah, we're all in agreement here. It's gonna be Pat Kelsey because he's intense. Matt was talking about earlier when he was watching one of his previous games at College of Charleston. He was getting into it with an FAU player and like
tried to recruit him.
He tried to recruit him. You're right. Yeah, he did. He tried to recruit him. He's like, hey, let bygones be bygones. It's all good. Yeah. All right. So Kendrick, what time is your story airing about Dennis Lampley's? So all the people out there know, you all know how to get on Wave 3. If you have Spectrum or Dish Network or DirecTV or whatever, you know your local channels. So what time, Kendrick, can we expect that?
We'll be on at 5:30. We'll have something again short at 6, and then Dusty has something tonight at 11.
All right, there we go. So 5:36 and then 11 o'clock. So check out Wave 3. If you're, you know, from Louisville, you're a Trinity, former Trinity alum, or just like high school football in general, a nice tribute to Dennis Lampley tonight on Wave 3, 5:36 and 11. Well, Kendrick, man, appreciate the time. We'll catch up again next week. Hope you have a great rest of your week and a good weekend. When you get that video game going, enjoy that too.
Thanks, man. You know what's crazy? Today is the first day Dusty and I have worked together in like 2.5 weeks.
I'm sorry.
actually, he's a welcome sight because, you know, after working by yourself every day for so long.
Yeah, it's good to have your buddy back. I know.
It's good to have another pulse in the office.
And Dusty's a pulse. He's a pulse for sure. All right, man, take it easy. We appreciate it, Kendrick. Thank you so much.
All right, man, y'all take it easy.
All right, there we go. Our guy Kendrick Haskins, Wave 3, wave3.com. He's another energy guy.
And it's funny, he mentioned Dusty. I ran into him when we were talking to Brahma about Dennis Lampley, and we got to talk about the video game because we're dudes. That's what we talk
exactly,
about.
Exactly, absolutely.
And then guys being dudes.
Yeah.
But I told him how, like, I have early access. I plan on streaming it launch night, and he's like, dude, can I come over and play with you?
He probably would.
I told him because he's been over to my place, and I think he came over and I did like a stand-up about, I can't remember what it was. I think it was about Kelsey's hiring, but anyways. So he said, like, hey, I'll come over like if you want. I'm like, come on over.
Yeah. It's better to play against someone in person than, you know, on the game itself, on the internet.
So who's the, it's Coastal, and then what was the other
Coastal
option?
And then Marshall. Those are who I'm debating on.
What about you? Who you rebuilt?
Either Coastal or Rutgers.
Coastal or Rutgers.
They're in the Big Ten.
Yeah,
though.
But without Rutgers, I'm not alive. So I have to.
So he has an emotional attachment.
My parents met there. Like,
that's fair.
In a weird way, I can say Rutgers is life because
for you, it is.
They gave me life.
Rutgers, as Tony Soprano used to say. All right, let's read some text here. We'll take our break into Weird Wednesday.
Wait, Strebel, you do take your, take your son's controller and you're like, I want to rebuild a school, who would you pick?
That's a good question.
Man.
I mean, I know you're a father, so you probably won't be able to play as much.
I would say Tulane. Because John Schlarman's there, and they've been kind of good here recently.
Yeah.
And not John Schlarman, apologize. Oh, gosh, he's passed away. Gosh, who's the... Well, anyway, there's an ex-Kentucky player / coach that's coaching there now, and I'm blanking on his
name.
Summerall, there you go, John Summerall. Yeah. Thank you. See, you knew that. How about that? Let's go McGavick. John Summerall. Sorry about that. John Summerall's there, so that's exactly who I'd go with. I'd go with Tulane. And plus, they're, you know, in New Orleans. I mean,
New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans. Who wouldn't want to play
recruiting.
That? Good recruiting base, UK connection.
Be like, hey, you got a seafood boil.
Absolutely.
Sign this dotted line.
That sounds really good right now. I could go for a seafood boil. That sounds really good. All right, a couple texts here. Texter, this is Tox. I knew it wouldn't be too long for BB and Haskins to start smooching up to Pope. The man rifled off adjectives rapid fire to smooch up.
Dang.
Texter, Texas fans are probably asking for Arch to play because they are afraid he won't play, get upset, and transfer. They just want to see him and assure him he's still a good option if yours doesn't play. Texter asked
him. I'd rather have the better QB.
Sorry, I'd rather have Quinn Ewers.
Give me Quinn Ewers.
I'm Texas. If you transfer, I'm Texas. I'm going to go out and get another five-star. I mean, that's what Texas does.
Yeah.
I'll get Tom Brady's son or something.
Texter, ask him who's rebuilding in 12 months after Vandergriff craters the program. Thank you. We'll see about that. Let's see here. There was something on there about me and saying focaccia bread. It wasn't that bad this time. It wasn't like the first time where I said focaccia bread. I did in front of Anna, and she lost her because she's as you know super Italian. So she corrected me immediately. I was like, it's good focaccia bread, and she's like, wait, what was that? It's like, what kind of
what
bread?
Did you say?
I was like, well, how do you say it? She's like, it's focaccia bread. I was like, I'm sorry. All I do around here is piss off Italians.
Too many mad Italians here.
I know. Get your people under control, Tanner. They're always mad at me.
50%. Hold on. I wave the green and orange.
There you go. That's right. All right. Let's take a break. We'll get to Weird Wednesday. I'm excited about it. My first Weird Wednesday with Matt McGavick. I think he's pumped too. Before we do that, Sonic Troll of Louisville, the best place in Kentucky. If you want to secure your home, secure your business, it's a major upgrade from whatever it is you have now, whether it's that little ring right by your doorbell, or if it's another one of the big time, you know, national companies. They don't do it like Sonic Troll does it. They don't have the best technology with high resolution cameras that can see at night. They don't have that no false alarm guarantee. They're also not locally owned and operated for over 35 years. They don't have 350 plus five-star reviews on Google. They have it all. That's the best place you can go. They even, the 911 operators, even they'll communicate with Sonic Troll while the police, the fire department are on the way to your house. So you have that as well. It's a very personal company where they work with you. They'll come out, they'll make changes, they'll do upgrades, whatever you want them to do, they'll do it. So give them a call at 502-966-8999 or go to SonicTrollKY.com. They do cameras, badge access, and fire monitoring along with the security. You can do it all for your phone. Again, SonicTrollKY.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Replace God's creation of humanity with man's creation. It was like standing at the altar of an alien god. And that's what a lot of this AI stuff is related to. Garner knowledge and energy and power from hidden forces through a secret language, through alchemy, they would call this, right?
And yeah.
Welcome back to the Roundtable with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
If you want to say, excuse me, sorry. Back on the show, if you want to say
that pizza coming is that back pizza. To bite you.
Exactly. Is that matzo pie? But if you want to say 15% on TBT tickets, use code TBTLU15. The TBT gets going July 20th at Freedom Hall. That's TBTLU15. The roundtable here on ESPN 680 105.7. James Trudeau, Matt McGavick, Tanner Brutomesso here today. And it's exciting Tanner Matt's face when my friend Isaac Weishoff was talking. He was like, what the hell? So it's a good entry to Weird Wednesday.
Yeah. Welcome, Matt.
Welcome, Matt.
That was a hell of a rejoin.
Let's go. All right, kick it off. Let's go, Tanner.
Conspiracies, extraterrestrials, the occult. Gather around the lunch table, children. Don't try to get up. He won't let you leave. It's Weird Wednesday with Mr. Strebel.
All right, here we go. Weird Wednesday, and we're going to kick this Weird Wednesday before we get into the content. We're going to kick off Weird Wednesday by giving Matt McGavick the Weird Wednesday quiz, okay? So here's how it works. It's easy. Right. You're going to rate between 0 and 5 with believability. So, like, if you don't believe it at all, it'd be a 0. You know, if you kind of like, maybe 1, 2, and then 5, like, yeah. I believe in it 100%, okay? Yeah. Gotcha. Now, if there's anything on here that you're confused by, you've never heard of, I can explain it to you. And then at the end, I'll tabulate your score. Then I'll tell you where you fall on the believability scale. Okay, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay, all right, here we go. We're going to start off easy. Do you believe in UAPs, also known as UFOs? What's your belief?
Like, 5, absolutely. The universe is too big.
Okay, so 5, okay. Already off to a good start.
I mean, Earth is small in the grand scheme of everything, and you're going to tell me there's no other intelligent life out there, period?
The odds
are more in favor of there being life somewhere versus not existing at all.
Okay, there we go. So 5. Now, do you believe in abduction cases?
That one probably on the 2. I think the people that come out and talk about that, some can be a little bit, you know, stretching the truth. I'm not saying it hasn't happened.
Sure.
But I think the ones that we do know about is probably stretching the truth a little bit.
Okay. Maybe have a different type of experience or maybe a mental issue or something like that.
Something, yeah.
Okay, so a 2. Okay, so still leaving the little room. Do you believe in the Anunnaki?
What the hell is that?
Okay, so the Anunnaki were so ancient Sumeria. The Sumerians were allegedly the first culture to bring forth writing and major building projects, and they worshiped these beings called the Anunnaki, who were like kind of giants. And they said they came from the sky. But what makes it weird is like the pictures or the glyphs of the Anunnaki. They look very human, and the Sumerians kind of, while everyone else was still stuck in basically the Stone Age, Sumerians had this big time culture, agriculture, again, libraries, things that nobody else on the planet had. And they attribute that to these possibly off Earth beings called the Anunnaki.
Just because I've never heard of this and I have very little context and information on this, I'm going to go with A one?
Okay.
Just because this is literally the first time I'm ever hearing about
this. Okay, that's fair enough. And again, if you hadn't heard this stuff, let me know. Do you believe in the Nephilim?
This is really getting in the woods.
Yes, it is. This is part of the... So the Nephilim were in the Bible. There's a part in the Bible in Genesis that talks about one of the reasons why God flooded the earth and Noah had to build the ark. There's flood stories across the gamut from all cultures. So the Nephilim were... What happened was... some angels in heaven decide, this is, you know, Lucifer is not his real name, but anyway, the devil's one of them. They come down to earth. They end up making love to human women. This is in Genesis. And they give birth to these beings called Nephilim, which end up being giants and like men of renown. And so they say some of these ancient gods like Zeus or Thoth or whatever were actually Nephilim, the offspring between an angel and a human woman.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. that one I'm probably going to give a 0.
0.
That
okay.
That one seems a little bit out there for me.
All right. Fair enough. Do you believe the theory of Atlantis?
Ooh. I believe there are some aspects to it that are true. I mean, do I believe 100% that it was a city that completely sank into the sea? No, but I do think Atlantis in some form probably existed, so I'd probably say 2.
A 2? Okay, gotcha. You're a 2 on that. All right, do you believe in Bigfoot and other cryptids?
I want to say yes, but you would think at this point we'd have more like tangible evidence.
Sure.
But
now, one of the theories is that they're interdimensional creatures. So, you know,
I don't subscribe to that notion, but I do believe that there are probably creatures and animals and beings out there that we haven't discovered yet.
Okay. So would you give that one?
I'd probably say a 3.
A 3? Okay. Outside of the UAP ones, their highest one. Do you believe in demons and that they can possess people?
5.
5, okay.
No question.
Yeah, there's no question there for me either. What about ghosts? Do you believe in ghosts?
I'm going to go 4. I think the way that some people describe like paranormal beings get into like a little bit of the hokey type of realm, but I definitely think they exist.
Okay, gotcha. So you're four on that one. Okay. Do you believe in the Mandela effect?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I've been a victim of the Mandela effect.
Really? With what?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but I'll see something like from my childhood and think, oh, I remember that. But then I'll get down the Wikipedia and YouTube rabbit hole and be like, that's not at all what I remember it out to be.
Right.
So, yeah, no, the Mandela effect is real.
Okay, so you have a five on that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a five there. All right. Do you believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was the only one involved in the JFK assassination plot?
I do.
Really?
I do, actually.
Okay, so that'd actually be a zero. Okay, gotcha. So you believe that he acted alone as just a single shooter?
I do think there's probably more that we don't know about the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
But I think given what we know more concrete, it's kind of hard to convince me that there was like another shooter or something like that.
Okay, there we go. All right, so let me tabulate your score, and then I'll tell you where you're on the scale. So we got 5, 7, 8, 10, 13, 18, 22. So you scored a 27, and that puts you on verge of red pilled. So you're kind of dancing around it. What skews your score are the fives for UAPs, demons and possession, and Mandela effect. So there are things that you are awake for. So okay, that's a respectable score. That's a respectable score. Now you know what the category for the highest scores is?
Oh no, what?
Psychedelic mushroom shaman. That's what I am. That's the category that I fall under. So okay, that's a respectable score. I like that. So that means you can at least have some discussions when it comes to this weird Wednesday stuff. All right, so let's go ahead and get to the sound now. We mentioned UAPs, we mentioned religion a little bit. So TMZ is actually starting a new series. It premiered on July 8th, so I haven't actually seen the episode yet. Now I got to go back and watch it. But it's called Strange and Suspicious, okay? And one of the first sound clips they came up with is some of the artwork, religious artwork, where you see UAPs/UFOs, things like that, in the sky. And this is like, you know, medieval artwork, and some comes even before
that. I've got it pulled up right now.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're kind of watching it, you're looking at the artwork, okay? And it's kind of a long sound, so Tanner, I may have you cut it off at some point, but let's go ahead and listen to what they say. Go ahead, Tanner.
I'm not a religious guy, but I was freaked out when I went to the Vatican by the paintings. I know that it's all kind of rooted in the Bible and everything, but there are these weird images, and I'm sorry, but they look otherworldly. So here are some examples of paintings. And things in the sky.
Clouds.
That's a cloud.
Yeah, those look like
okay, clouds. But it's a cloud with a weird shape, right?
It could be a lenticular cloud, which they do actually look a lot like that.
That one is interesting.
Well, remember, guys, this is centuries old, where nothing flew.
And that one does not look like a cloud.
There's a cloud shooting down a beam inside of a house. That is not a cloud.
There's also this Renaissance painter, Domenico G., I'm going to say, Ghirlandaio. He painted one of the most famous religious UFO paintings, and it's artwork of Mary looking down at two infants, and there's like this mysterious object up above, and it looks a little like a saucer, if I'm being real, and I'm very skeptical.
It's a bug.
It's a bug. It's a bug.
Guys, look at that. It looks like lasers coming down.
I always wondered if this was like a depiction of, is this confusion for Heaven's Gate sort of opening and sort of like a theoretical idea of what that might look like, or is this actually something in the UFO camp?
I was about to say, usually when it's representing heaven, it would be a light circle and then beams. This looks like a very, very dark figure that is pointing beams and then thus giving light. So I think that that's very UFO-esque.
It's an interesting idea, the idea that this long ago, these could have been some of the earliest chroniclers of something in the sky that maybe they thought was divine. But in reality, this could be something else.
If you think about it, okay, modern UFO theory, a lot of people say that in big, important historic events, these things tend to show up. So in these historic events, like the baptism of Christ and things, the theory is, well, there were observers there as well.
you know, playing devil's advocate for a moment, what would somebody from that time period, how would they perceive, you know, somebody coming from space that was simply a visitor? It would be supernatural.
They would have assumed that it was a god, exactly. So I do think that, you know, a couple of those paintings, which doesn't look like a cloud, it clearly looks like what we think of a spaceship with those beams coming down. I feel that's rather compelling, considering when they were painted. They have not been clouded by television and the X-Files or anything like that. There's no electricity at that time.
No airplanes, yeah. nothing that flies.
Nothing that flies, precisely.
It is weird, because we keep seeing these saucer-like things, and these are hundreds of years old.
The stuff in the paintings look mechanized, meaning it looks like it's something built. It's
technological.
It looks technological.
It looks technological.
Or did one see the other's painting and go, oh, I like that saucer up in the air. It looks kind of cool in the painting, dude. I'm going to do it on mine.
That's more of a curiosity, because you never saw anything fly back then.
No, clouds, birds.
No, they knew how to draw birds.
They knew how to draw birds.
There's written accounts, too. It's not just the paintings. Like in the Bible, Zechariah talks about a flying roll. An angel says to him, you know, look, and he says, what is that? It's a flying roll.
Which means if they saw something, they'd attribute a supernatural cause to it.
Yeah. But I guess that kind of poses the question, is there any reason that the church would want to conceal this information today? Do they only believe that it's supernatural, or do they actually believe that there's something here that's worth keeping a secret?
Well, by the way, there were people in the clergy in the Vatican who subscribed to the notion that this could be alien life coming down to Earth. There were people in the...
No one's refuting that. The question is, why now is this a conversation to talk about? What new information is coming out, or what new tactic about concealing the information changes things?
Easy. People are finally willing to talk about this without being labeled crazy.
Yeah.
And that's really only been since 2017, since the New York Times did a story explaining that the government was concerned about this and was keeping files. So it's only been 5 or 6 years since people could talk openly about it.
And they're seeing what's coming down the road, maybe, and they're like, we better stay ahead of this because our...
Right, because the Catholic Church is known for being ahead of the curve.
My goodness.
All right, so analyzing these art pieces, and I think they did a good job of, you know, playing devil's advocate and saying, well, it could be this, it could be a cloud, you know, could. But I thought the compelling arguments there are, you know, these look like technological things in the sky that you would not see in the, you know, 1400s, 1500s, and even previous. And there's, you know, there's artwork that spans history. So you have, like, for instance, the people that lived in Australia, the natives there would draw strange objects that they were above them. They draw these weird beings. The same thing with South America and Africa and Asia, and even in the caves of Europe dating back to the Stone Age, where they draw these strange looking beings and things that look like they're coming out of the sky. So this isn't just a Renaissance era here. This spans humanity, where we're trying to the best of our ability, depict something that we don't understand, that's out of reach for us in the sky.
And see, that's where I kind of play the devil's advocate and say, like, just because at that point in time where you don't know how to properly explain it or convey it, you don't know how to express it, so it's going to have several different interpretations. Like, I just sent you something.
Yeah, I just saw that. Yeah,
like back then, like on that video clip, the very first one, like, you, there are cloud formations that do look like UFOs.
Yeah,
like, and then on that second where it had the beam of light pointing in someone's house, like, there are electrical types of electrical discharge in the sky, like in the thermosphere, the stratosphere, like sprites, blue jets, like different forms
ball
of
lightning.
Ball lightning.
Ball
I was just
lightning,
about to get to
yeah.
that. There, like, things back then that we know about now, but they didn't know how to describe. So that, how else were they going to draw it other than, like, just a beam of light coming from the sky into your home?
Yes. But
I do say that there are some things out there that you just can't explain. That those are the ones that that's where I sit on, like, yeah, I think UFOs are a thing, because I think there are some things that you just straight up can't explain. Like,
sure,
what was it, a year or two ago, the U.S. government declassified this, like, black
yeah back
footage
in 2019
like
yeah back, that, back in 2019
that, that's
yeah.
one of the things where I'm like, what the, well, this is clearly something that they should have, like, been actually pursuing, like, well, what's going on here?
And they just saw something over Red Rocks. I don't know if you saw that story or not, but there was a mass UFO sighting over at the Red Rocks music venue in Colorado, where where, I mean, a ton of, you know, big acts have played there. Dave Matthews Band, you know, Neil Young, and it was a, they're waiting for a concert, and they all saw it, and there's video footage of it, and there's, you know, eyewitness accounts, pictures. So it's still happening. And also, what I find interesting as well, talking about this, Matt, and, you know, your point to, you know, ball lightning, and there, that stuff does happen. I do believe that people get, you know, natural phenomenon happening in the sky confused with UFOs. I think that happens probably more often than not. But all of this, it's like they're tying it to these big time religious moments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so what is the relationship between Mary sitting with, you know, an infant Jesus and another infant, and then something strange in the sky? Like, what's the tie into that? Or, you know, all the religions, not even Christianity, but you even in Judaism, in the Bible, they talk about Ezekiel flying off in a flaming chariot. Enoch was taken by God, and all these other things.
Yeah.
And you go also into polytheism. Something like Hinduism, where they have the Vedas, where they have these flying cities, they're having essentially nuclear wars in their holy texts. And it's like, okay, what is the tie-in to all of that? That's what piques my interest. And what the Vatican is hiding, what do they know?
Oh, I'm sure the Vatican's hiding a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And plus, going to that painting where it depicted, it literally looked like a flying saucer beaming down on and Mary and Jesus, is that what it was?
Yeah, and another infant,
The first thing that came to mind for me, that maybe it was that artist's interpretation of the North Star, or the three wise men, the beacon,
sure,
that they were following,
before
they give the gifts to Christ. Like, that was just the first thing I thought of. But I look at that and I'm like, yeah, that looks like your typical like flying saucer from the 50s.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it does. It looks like something you'd see in a sci-fi movie in the 1950s. Yeah. Just a great way to put it. And it's weird because the shapes of these things and the way we look at them have changed over time. Like the old tried and true, what you just brought up, flying saucer. Little green men, yeah, have all of a sudden morphed into, it looks like a tic-tac, or it looks like a triangle, or it's a flying pyramid, or something like that. And people don't really see the, you know, old-fashioned flying saucers much. They're seeing something different. And when they describe, you know, you say little green men, when they describe whatever these beings are, they look vastly different. They're not green. They're not little. A lot of them are very tall. Some of them look like a praying mantis. things of that nature. That has changed along with humanity. The description of these whatever these machines, or they might even be machines.
These machinations or what have you.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, one of the other theories that's really coming out of this too here, this is happening recently more real time as this thing continues to change. Back to your point earlier, when you say, okay, the universe is so vast, there has to be other life, and I agree with you. I think that's true 100%. The other part of this is, like, you know, they're coming out of the oceans, and they're going back into the ocean, and they come out from underground and out of mountains, and maybe even the moon, where it seems to be more localized. It's not just a space question. It could also be a terrestrial question as well.
Because I don't know the exact stat, but I know I read somewhere at some point that we know about more about space than we do, like, the inner depths of our own ocean.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's so deep down there.
Yeah, yeah.
So Lord knows what's down there.
I mean, we can make it further in space than we can make it into the ocean because of pressure. Like, we'll get crushed if we go down there. There's no... That's why they send submarines and, you know, robots and things down there, because they can withstand the pressure. They build that way, but the human body still cannot do that. Speaking of, I was watching Godzilla Minus One last night. Have you seen that?
I still need to see it.
It's awesome.
I know.
Like, it actually is a deep, like, World War II drama from the perspective of the Japanese, like, trying to rebuild the country after World War II with Godzilla in it. It's really good.
I just assumed it was like Godzilla set in like a more modern age. Like,
no,
this is interesting.
It takes place post-World War II Japan. It's really good. Oh. And the reason why I bring up the depths of the ocean, one of the ways they try to kill Godzilla is to drag him down into one of those deep trenches, like 1,500 feet, and crush him. Because, you know, bullets and missiles and stuff don't work. He just regenerates.
Did they use the oxygen destroyer?
They did not. They did not use it. But it's the movie actually like blew me away. Because everyone kept saying, you gotta see it. It's really good. So last night, like you said, I'm a dad. I don't have a lot of time to watch TV on my own. So my wife goes to bed. The kids are, they're not in bed yet, but they're all in their rooms, like playing Xbox or, you know, hanging out or whatever. So I was like, this is a good time for me to finally watch this movie. And I sat down, I watched it, man. And honestly, it's one of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
What are your thoughts on the new age Godzilla movies, like under the MonsterVerse ones?
They're okay. I mean, they're fun. They're fun. I mean, if you want to watch a movie where, you know, Godzilla and King Kong fight each other, like, that's cool. That's fun. You're not going to get any deep meaning out of this.
No.
But with Godzilla Minus One, the story around the Godzilla creature is actually more interesting.
Yeah, and this was made by Toho, right? Minus
yes,
One?
Yes, yes, yes.
See, and the Toho Godzilla films, like, more so revolve around, like, themes, whether they be human or culture or societal, something like that. And those are something I always appreciated about those, like, because I remember, of course, I like the American-made Godzillas, and where there's more just, like, a monster beat 'em up, but, like, the ones coming out of Japan, like, where they actually have deep meaning behind them, more than just, like, you know, Godzilla versus X monster. Like,
yeah, those are Godzilla versus Mothra, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the first Godzilla movie was basically a warning on, like, testing nuclear weapons.
Fallout, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, because it morphs whatever Godzilla was at first into this indestructible beast. This one takes a little bit of a different tact on it. Godzilla already existed, but the nuclear test makes it, like, virtually indestructible and bigger. It's, like I said, man, I went in expecting it to just be fun and, like, well, this is cool, but it's really, really good. 10 out of 10 for me. Like, seriously, 10 out of 10.
What's it streaming on?
Netflix.
Okay.
So it's on Netflix. If you got a time, it's 2 hours plus. It's longer for a Godzilla movie, but it's totally worth it. All right, let's read some text here before I take a break. Good job on that Weird Wednesday, man. That's a fun conversation. Let's go. Texture, do you ever watch the Y-Files channel on YouTube? That guy's incredible. Yeah, I enjoy the Y-Files. It's really good. And it's a little fish, a little pet fish in the video that kind of gets corny sometimes. But other than that, it's really good. Texture, did you watch it in color or black and white? I watched the movie in color. I don't know if there's another option, but on Netflix it's in color.
Yeah, because I think they filmed that with the intention of being able to both watch it in color and in black and white.
Oh,
the same message
really?
Across. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure.
Now I kind of wish I would have watched it. I might go back and watch it in black and white and see how different it is. But it is really cool when Godzilla is, like, powering up to shoot out the death ray. Like, the spikes in his back start to poke out and turn blue. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, I've had another friend that's told me that you've got to watch the Godzilla Minus One. I keep forgetting.
Well, now you have two people telling you you've got to watch it. Texture Streamlady talked about the random monoliths out west. Oh, yeah, there's all these monoliths popping up out west. And a lot of times it's just
people setting stuff up.
People setting stuff up for, like, an artistic reason or like a social experiment, something like that. But, you know, it's something to keep your eye on for sure. Texture, Matt does have a hint of sounding like Grossman. I disagree. I don't think he does at all. I don't know.
I mean, I have no idea. Have a nasally voice, but I don't think I have a high pitched.
You don't have the high pitched voice where you sound like you're still 12 years old. All right, good time there. Let's take a break. On the other end, there are some recruits to watch out for both the Cards and the Cats in regards to basketball. We'll discuss them and who they are. Also, 5 reasons going to 68 teams for the big dance is a bad idea. We'll talk about that and more. But before we do that, let me remind you for our friends over at 502 Hemp. Good segue from Weird Wednesday right into 502 Hemp at 812 Hemp. If you're looking for Delta 8 or Delta 9, those are the places to go. They have it in drink form. So if you're out there and it's summertime and everyone's drinking by the pool, but you got stuff to do tomorrow or just don't like feeling crappy because you're hungover or dehydrated, they do have those Delta 8 Delta 9 drinks that you can take in instead of the alcohol, and you'll still be socially active and having fun and feeling good, and then you'll wake up the next morning from a really good sleep and you won't feel like garbage. So go check them out. Douglas Hills location is a store in 502 Hemp here in Louisville in Indiana. 812 Hemp is off the Lewis and Clark Parkway right by the Court Physical Therapy and Kroger in Clarksville, Indiana. 502hemp.com.